Okay, everybody, workday's over.
This is the best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Ovius and Giglio.
The North Carolina State Senate okayed legalized sports betting today. Of course, it comes with a little bit of a catch. State senators gave final approval today to a proposal that would allow betting on sports online via mobile phone and in person at approved facilities in the immediate area of major sporting events. This follows a 26-19 vote. It now moves to the House.
19 people voted against this?
Well, what's interesting, not that I'm that immersed in the NCGA.
Right.
But apparently the House leader, the Senate pro temp, I want to give Phil Berger his proper
sure.
title. The Senate president pro temp, Phil Berger, apparently had a longstanding precedent of allowing floor votes only on bills that had a majority of his 28-member caucus. Wasn't going to get out there for a vote unless he knew it had support. Apparently this one did not, but Berger is somebody who sees the forest from the trees when it comes to wagering in the state of North Carolina. And there are some that still don't feel that wagering is something that is of the values of the state. But as some have pointed out, including co-sponsor of this bill, Senator Paul Lowe, who's a Democrat from Forsyth County, quote, somebody said, well, it's gambling. And I said, well, we already have gambling. We've got the lottery. It's here. End quote. Hey, I like that attitude because we've actually said that as it relates to sports wagering. So now it has to go through the House. I know this is something that Governor Roy Cooper has been pushing for. Right now in the state of North Carolina, for context purposes, right now in the state of North Carolina, you can wager legally on sports. It just has to be from the sports book at two casinos.
Right.
On Native American lands. You're looking at the Harrah's in Cherokee, and I think the Harrah's in Catawba. I think those are the two major casinos on Native land, and you can do it from the sports book there. But after you get off those grounds, yeah. You can't do anything.
And what never made any sense about that, Joe, is the bigger percentage of money you're going to make from a sports book is from online.
Mm-hmm.
Not in person.
No.
Compared to what a casino makes on table games and slots, the sports book is like a loss leader, if you will.
It is.
It's not a big portion of their revenue. But when you get something online
mm-hmm.
and then you introduce the crack that is live gambling, well, then you're going to be onto something.
So the North Carolina Lottery Commission would handle the regulation of this industry. And the state would raise money from an 8% cut of the proceeds and then by charging for no more than 12 state licenses for online sports betting outlets, not counting additional tribal licenses. Online
12?
12.
Okay.
Online gambling outlets would have to pay $500,000 for their initial license and then an additional $100,000 annually to renew. The state would also require licenses and fees from vendors that supply licensed gambling operations. So I want to get back to that real quick. By charging for no more than 12 state licenses for online sports betting outlets, not counting those tribal licenses. So that would include places like PNC Arena, Bank of America Stadium. Those would be an obvious two. From there, I'm not quite sure what you can really do. What, Greensboro Coliseum, maybe, if you're going to do...
Just because you don't... Say it again. It has to be near...
So going back to the beginning of it. So this would allow... betting online
mm-hmm.
via mobile phone and in person at approved facilities in the immediate area of major sporting events.
Okay.
So that would include NFL games. That would include NHL games, NBA games. I forgot about Time Warner Cable Arena or Spectrum Arena. So that would be
sure.
three obvious venues.
Why not Carter Finley Stadium or Keenan Stadium or
Cameron
Indoor Stadium?
The only question that I would have is,
because nobody bets on college sports.
Nobody bets on college sports.
Oh, okay, that doesn't happen right now. Oh, okay,
Well, isn't that kind of the attitude?
Let's act like money isn't money, right?
Right. Well,
like, what did we learn in the pandemic with college sports? What is it all about?
Isn't that kind of part of the attitude, too? Like, and this is something that I wish people understood, that they, if they're against wagering in the state of North Carolina, there's two things that I would say. By not going forward with wagering in the state of North Carolina, you are giving up money to your neighboring states. If we don't do it, what, you don't think South Carolina's going to do it? You know, in Virginia.
Well, Virginia's already there.
Virginia's already there, right? Yeah. And I know South Carolina's on the way to do that. So you're giving up.
Tennessee's there.
You're giving up money that could be here in the state, number one. Number two, to your point, Julio, why are we acting like this stuff doesn't exist?
It's kind of like the NCAA. They act like, oh, players aren't paid now. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. This gets back to some of my great advice from yesterday, which I'm still angry about with you, by the way. I give great relationship advice, and another portion of that, of the corollary to I can't make you love me is you can't help people who don't want to be helped.
Yeah.
So you could sit here and be morally outraged by somebody who has a gambling problem,
mm-hmm.
and not to diminish that, but like you can't help people who don't want to be helped. So you can't sit here. You also can't sit here and act like, oh, this isn't happening now, so we can't legally approve it.
No, I'm with you on that. But I come back to a real simple thing. This is money. And
yeah, it's revenue.
It's revenue.
It's easy money.
It's really easy money. I think there was an argument from one of the state senators that was saying the money wasn't that much. That's not the point. It's another way to generate some revenue.
Yeah, it's not that much in person, but once you get going online, mm-hmm. it becomes real.
I also don't think that, to your point about, you know, with the lottery, there's the problem helpline, everything else. All those things are going to exist. It's good for us as a sports talk radio show here in North Carolina, because if there's legalized sports wagering, it just means that there's going to be more opportunities for people to advertise about their sports book that you can get online and do while you're at a sporting event. But I also don't think it's going to become so pervasive that it's going to detract people from their enjoyment of going to a game. I think I'm in the majority on this. I know that sounds weird considering that who I hang out with, you and others who are very much into sports wagering for entertainment purposes only, I am not one of those people. However, I do know that as a, what I would argue, a mainstream consumer of sports, I think there's going to be more people like me that go, I'll use the Canes as an example. There's going to be more people like me that go to PNC Arena, download the app, maybe put some money down on who's going to have more goals in the second period, and I will win some money that will pay for my beers. That's going to be, I honestly think that's what you're going to get the majority of people doing. I really do think that. It's something to do for fun, and then that's it. If I can break even on a night out, I'm good, man. Of course, you're sitting here making a face like you don't believe me.
I believe you. I mean, it's kind of a quaint concept that you're coming up with here.
How is that a quaint concept?
But it's not really how gambling works.
Yeah, I know.
But
I know.
Yeah.
Again, I do think there's more people like me than not.
I would agree with that.
That's
yes.
all. That would be my overall point. The Atlantic Coast Conference announced their COVID-19 game rescheduling policy today. This has been a work in progress. My guess is it's been rewritten, ripped up again, and rewritten because of the Delta variant. How much you want to bet what they thought was going to happen this upcoming football season back in July isn't how they were going to go about it 2 weeks from the start of the season when they released this report. So according to the ACC, which was approved by the athletic directors, applies to football, field hockey, men's and women's soccer, and volleyball. In the sport of football and field hockey, men's and women's soccer and volleyball, if a 2021 ACC game cannot be played on its originally scheduled date by a team unable to play due to an insufficient number of available players related to COVID-19, that team will be deemed to have forfeited with a loss assigned to the team unable to play and a win assigned to its scheduled opponent, with both the loss and the win respectively applied to the conference standings. That's important. If a 2021 ACC game cannot be played on its original scheduled date, due to any factors directly associated with game discontinuation consideration, as listed in the current ACC Medical Advisory Group report, the conference's sport rescheduling policy shall apply. If a 2021 ACC game cannot be played on its originally scheduled date due to both teams being unable to play due to an insufficient number of athletes related to COVID-19, both teams shall be deemed to have forfeited with a loss assigned to both teams and applied to the conference standing. So that is the long and short of what they're going to do this season.
Okay, before I give you my take on that,
mm-hmm.
also should be noted, teams with an 85% vaccination rate don't have to, basically don't have to be tested.
So the exact language is teams that have a vaccination rate of 85% or higher among their student athletes and have no active cases may relax mitigation strategies around the team, spacing, masking in meetings, meals while traveling. In all sports, the masking of individual vaccinated or unvaccinated, and this applies to the entire football operations, permitted in the team bench area or within the playing enclosure will be at the discretion of the home institution.
But if you're less than 85%, you have to test three times a week.
Yes.
That's a lot, which is yes. what they were doing last year.
Yes. While fully vaccinated individuals will no longer be required to participate in surveillance testing regimens and things like that under this latest revision, those who are not vaccinated will have to go through all that process. It kind of gets back to what we talked about after Omaha with NC State.
There's a key difference here, though, but go ahead.
Well, they are incentivizing you to get vaccinated as a competitive advantage.
Yes, that part is true.
But
who's policing this? We saw this last year when Notre Dame had four positive tests and no one else was sidelined due to contact tracing. Clemson's star quarterback missed two games with COVID and there wasn't a single other case of contact tracing that sidelined any of these players.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, you get to the NCAA College World Series and the governing body told NC State players who tested negative that they couldn't play because there was a third party enforcing this.
Mm-hmm.
So the ACC is still leaving itself open here for the schools to interpret testing results and protocols. What is the solution to that? I don't know.
I don't know.
And I didn't expect it to be any other way. But while I agree with what they're doing with the forfeits, there's still going to be some wiggle room in there.
There's always going to be some wiggle room.
Except when it's the NCAA. When it's the teams, wiggle. When it's not, no wiggle.
Fair enough. We're going to get a double forfeit, aren't we?
I kind of hope so. I'm kind of rooting for it.
I mean, look, I don't want to... rooting for is the wrong...
A double forfeit.
Rooting for is the wrong
way. I like
way
history.
That's kind of the wrong way to put it. But it would be... I mean, I thought Frank Beamer, Virginia Tech head football coach, in a game against Wake Forest where they went into overtime with a 0-0, a scoreless tie, and he had his hands raised in the air, was the epitome of hashtag go ACC. But wouldn't a double forfeit surpass that in the hashtag go ACC pantheon? Like, if you're the ACC network, forget what happened to the ACC tournament with your little documentary. I need a documentary about the double forfeit. Like, how'd that play out? Come on. Either way.
What if I told you?
That's basically what it is. So that's where the ACC is coming from on this. We still don't know what the SEC is going to do. We still don't know what the Big Ten is going to do. I think it's interesting that the ACC comes out with this first. Maybe they're trying to set a tone. But then again, they tried to set a tone last year, and that didn't necessarily go in the direction that they thought. So, bottom line, if you have an insufficient amount of players due to COVID-19 this football season, you will forfeit. So what happened, the best example I can give is the things that happened to Florida State last year will not happen this year, where they were trying to reschedule things and you made this trip and et cetera. Like, that's not happening this year.
Right.
Bottom line, that ain't happening.
Right.
To your point about some of the wiggle room that we saw with Notre Dame, or how is it that Trevor Lawrence was the only person who was in this protocol? We'll see how that plays out. Darren Gant, Panthers.com, joining us now on the Heiser Automotive Group Hotline. Training camp has come to a close for the Carolina Panthers with a joint practice against the Baltimore Ravens. They'll take on the Ravens in a preseason game on Saturday. Darren, what's up, man?
Oh, not much. I am living the dream. I am driving by the Cox Road exit in Gastonia. I'm almost home. Life is almost good.
Almost good. So the question is, Are we going to, like, almost see some starters on Saturday at Bank of America Stadium?
Almost, maybe, probably, a few. I tell you, it actually, you know, I think they want to play Sam Darnold a little bit in this game and get him greased up a little bit. But, you know, some stuff that's happened in practice the last couple of days may complicate it. They've got a couple offensive linemen dinged up.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Moore didn't finish practice today. Robbie Anderson wasn't practicing with a hamstring. So the question is it really worth it to put Sam out there for a long time if he's throwing to David Moore and Ishmael Hyman? And, you know, I think reasonable minds could disagree on the utility of that. But, you know, I think, honestly, the way a lot of teams are going, these joint practices kind of take the place of preseason games. And I know they don't get to sell tickets, and they still charge you full price when you attend these fine contests. But, you know, they're getting 50, 60 snaps of, you know, starter quality work. And that's more than they would get in a preseason game anyway. So that's kind of the justification they've got for not playing Sam a lot, not playing the regulars in the first game.
Darren Gant joining us here on the OG on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. That's Joe Ovius. I'm Joe Giglio. Darren, I was going to ask you, is that a new development? I know teams have had joint practices before, but do you see this as a new trend where there are multiple days and really kind of taking the place of that public display of the preseason game?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know that they'll ever get – until they can replace the revenue, they're not going to replace the preseason games.
Yeah,
but
right.
From a football standpoint, this is better work. And I think, you know, a lot of people have done this in the past. I was just looking back through my files. The Panthers did it in 98. They went up to Saginaw to work out with Barry Sanders and the Lions. And Fred Lane was starstruck and got Barry Sanders to sign his lunch tray in the cafeteria. It was sweet. But they've been doing this for a long time, but I think more and more teams are going to double up. And I think, you know, the longer this thing goes, because it's limited, you know, the way they've changed the cut dates, you know, they've cut to 85 now, they'll cut to 80 next week. So instead of having those last 10 or 20 slappies on the roster to play in that final preseason game, that's going to be the one the actual regulars play in. So, you know, we'll see how this experiment goes. But I think for right now, they kind of like being able to have a controlled environment and still get the work in. Because, I mean, face it, you get to see all the blitzes, you get to see all the coverage, and you don't have to worry about Sam Darnold getting hit. I mean, I actually kind of loved it the other day. He had a moment of self-awareness, and somebody asked him if he needed to get hit, and he said, you know, I've got some experience with that.
Darren Gant, Panthers.com, joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovius. All right, so from your perspective, without giving away too many of the team's secrets, how has Sam Darnold looked? I think that's part of the frustration, at least from my perspective, probably from some fan perspective. We've talked a lot about Sam Darnold. We'd like to see what he looks like in this offense, but I can only get tweets right now. So how has he been?
Are you saying my tweets aren't enough for you, Joe?
I need to do my own research, Darren. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You know, Sam's looked okay. Sam's looked fine. Sam's looked kind of like Sam looks and kind of like they want Sam to look. I think the biggest kind of challenge for them this year is managing everybody's expectations for what Sam Darnold's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
They do not want Sam Darnold to throw for 4,000 yards. They do not want Sam Darnold to throw 40 touchdowns. I mean, that would be nice, sure, but that's not the plan. I mean, basically, their charge to Sam Darnold is don't screw it up. And you see that guy over there, number 22? Try to put it in his hands about 350 times this year and let him do the heavy lifting. And there's a pretty good defense on the other side of the ball, so let them give you field position. And, you know, I think, honestly, I would say Sam has looked efficient. Sam has looked, you know, fairly reliable and clean, and he hasn't turned the ball over a lot. Now, again, it's the soft bigotry of low expectations. We've put the bar down here for Sam Darnold about ankle high, where he doesn't have to do a lot to clear it. But so far, he's cleared it. And, you know, I guess that's okay.
Darren Gant joining us here on the OG. Darren, one guy we have seen, you mentioned Christian McCaffrey, is Chuba Hubbard, rookie from Oklahoma State. I'm curious.
Yeah, he's super super fast.
I'm curious what you think his role will be as McCaffrey's backup. Is that a 70-30 situation, or do you think they'll try to take some of that mileage off of McCaffrey?
Yeah, I wouldn't think. I mean, it's still going to be Christian Cho, and he's good enough that he's going to be a high-volume guy regardless. And I think what you'll probably end up seeing early with Chuba is, you know, 3-4 touches a game, you know, let him return kickoffs, take advantage of some of that speed. When we were up in Indy the other week, he took a kickoff return to the house, and it's like, oh, okay, that's what Canadian sprinter speed looks like. So, you know, he's got a little pop, and I think they're trying to find ways to use him, but it's still going to be McCaffrey. I mean, when you've got a guy like that, Dan Henning used to call it feed the stud back during the Steve Smith days. Feed the stud. Give it to Christian McCaffrey as often as you can. And, you know, if you go game planning too much stuff for Chuba Hubbard as his backup, you're taking your eye off the ball, which is let the better guy do it.
Darren Gant, Pro Football from Panthers.com. Used to be.
What a fine job.
Fine. Miller High Life on me next time I see you. Darren Gant, Panthers.com. We appreciate the time. Have fun on Saturday.
All right. We'll see y'all.
Lauren Brownlow, WRALSportsFan.com, joining us now on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. Brownlow, what up?
What's going on?
So I don't know if you caught any of our conversation with Darren Gant of Panthers.com. I asked him how Sam Darnold has looked, and his response was, he's looked like Sam Darnold.
Oh, no.
Right? Isn't that kind of the problem?
Well, that doesn't make me feel good.
Yeah, it's possible that he could play on Saturday in their preseason game. It's not going to be a blanket, no starters are going to play.
That's good.
It looks like it's a case-by-case basis. The argument seems to be...
You got possibility out of that conversation?
Yeah.
With Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore injured?
Yeah, I know.
Do we need to work on your interpretive skills, Julius?
They're not the ones that they need to worry about.
It's the offensive line.
I mean, he at least needs to get some reps. I mean, he could hand off to McCaffrey a couple times, if nothing else.
Well, I guess that's the balancing act that the Panthers are doing right now. I get it. They've got some injuries. They want to get to the start of the season as healthy as possible. But you still, I would guess, want to get some live game reps with Sam Darnold, and it's not like you're going to have a healthy offensive line throughout the entirety of the season. So maybe you kind of get some things worked out in the preseason before you actually play a game.
I mean, maybe. They seem to think it's not necessary. And so, you know, again, this is like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's a decision that's like on the coaching staff, right? Mm-hmm. So if he comes out in week one and looks rusty and there's a tough transition, then they'll get rightly criticized for that. At least, I mean, you would like to think so anyway.
Lauren Brownlow, WRALSportsFan.com, joining us here on the OG. Lauren, the ACC announced their cancellation policy today, and I'm interested. Joe chastised me for rooting for a double forfeit.
I've never seen one of those.
We don't need a double forfeit.
I mean, I'm not openly rooting for people to get sick. I just want to see a forfeit.
That's what I'm saying.
Double forfeit.
I just want to know what. Yeah, like, come on, and you know which division it'll happen in because, yeah. Like, that's how it goes. It'll happen in the Coastal, and it'll mess up the Coastal standings. It'll be amazing.
You get a loss. You get a loss. Everyone gets a loss.
I mean, let's be honest, too. How many times have we all watched a football game and said to ourselves, especially in the ACC, and we can say this because, you know, there are people. How many times have we watched an ACC football game and gone, neither of these teams deserves to win this football game right now? Well, now our dreams can come true.
And not just a tie like the old days, but an actual double loss. Yes. Come on, Joe. Get on board with us.
I guess the problem I'm having with this notion is that it would have to be really bad for two teams to miss a game because of COVID-19.
Not necessarily. It could be contact tracing for each quarterback room like the Denver Broncos, right?
And well, they still went out and played that game.
That's true.
That Wake Forest guy, Wake Forest wide receiver turned quarterback.
Kendall Hinton.
Kendall Hinton had to go out there and do his best. So with these protocols, Lauren, and you see what they're doing here. I mean, they're not requiring vaccinations, but they're going to make it so that you should go out and get one.
Yes, although my one issue with it is that we've seen breakthrough cases. Obviously, they're less frequent, but they do happen. Mm-hmm. And obviously they're less serious, thankfully, but they do happen. And so, I mean, if you're above a certain threshold, or what if like everybody that has COVID and got contact traced is vaccinated, you know, then you're not really incentivizing anything at a certain point, because if you get a breakthrough case, it's not going to matter. Like, you could have been careful, got a breakthrough case, doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the worry that most of us have right now. I mean, I'm vaccinated. I can go out to the supermarket and wear my mask and go out or whatever and wear my mask like I'm supposed to. And it can still happen. But at that point, I'm more comfortable with it because I've done the things that I've been asked to do. If it happens, it happens.
I'm comfortable because I don't have to worry about playing a football game. So
well, there is
that
too. There is that too. I gotta worry about missing work. They're worried about missing a football game. Things are a little bit different in that regard. Lauren Brownlow, WRALSportsFan.com, hanging out with us here on the OG. Alongside Joe Giglio, I'm Joe Ovias. So there was a picture that was making the rounds from North Carolina's social media channels of a bunch of students lined up to take a sip of water from the old well.
Uh-huh.
Now, for those who are not familiar with the old well on UNC's campus, if you're new here, you're like, okay, what's the deal? Essentially, what, the first day of classes, you go and you take a sip, right? You're supposed to get good grades from that?
That's the legend, right?
That's the legend, right?
I mean, there were legends about Silent Sam, too, and those weren't true either.
This is true. This is true.
Just saying, you know.
So, did you ever in your time at UNC take a sip of water from that water fountain?
No, and I would never, because I think I got warned. It might have been during like a visit to Carolina. I think I got warned like, yeah, you know, it's probably kind of gross to drink out of this. I literally saw someone pee in it too. And after that, I was like, no.
I've seen somebody puke in it, so.
I mean, I'm sorry. Like, there's no telling what happens to that thing. I know, our buddy James Curl joked that state fans go over there and pee in it. I have heard that.
Yes.
Which is whatever. But I mean, I've seen drunk UNC students pee in it too. Like, it's disgusting. It is disgusting anyway, because like, I'll drink out of a water fountain if I have to, but I don't like it because people have bad water fountain etiquette. You know, I will keep my mouth away from the fountain part because people will just put their mouth straight up. It's gross to me. Add in the pandemic and it's like, and I just like, you knew they were going to do it, right?
Yeah.
So it's whatever. But what? Oh, sigh. I don't know who it was that made the decision to like, oh, we're going to tweet a picture of this. I was like, please don't. Why are you like this?
School tradition.
I'm kind of surprised we have water fountains here at the studio.
Well,
I thought they were over.
We like, can't use them anymore.
No, I understand that, but yeah. I'm like, I'm surprised. They're like phone booths at this point.
But a water fountain?
Yeah. For the same reasons Lauren just said.
Yeah.
I see more of them than I do the other. I certainly see, like, what I see now, if I see a water fountain, is one that has one of those things where you can put your bottle in it.
Yeah.
But they also sometimes will have, like, the fountain part. And it's I hate when I see them anywhere because my kid loves them. And he'll be like, I'm going to go drink out of this. And this, right? This is exactly what I'm talking about. Like a, you know, 5-year-old putting his Petri dish mouth on a water fountain. No.
Yeah, but if you drink water from a water hose in your backyard, you're just getting vitamins and minerals. I think the water from a hose just hits different, just a little bit. I think the reason why we don't have as many water fountains is because I think most people carry around water bottles now.
Right. When I was growing up, we didn't have water bottles. That wasn't a thing.
Right.
You didn't have a clean canteen?
You didn't drink bottled water.
Well, I'm just talking about the clean canteens.
I had a thermos. I had a...
What
was it? Was it Batman? Yeah, it was Batman.
I had a Walt Disney
thermos.
World one.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, hang on. I have a sounder for that.
I had a Walt Disney World lunchbox with the Walt Disney World thermos. Shocker, right?
Did you say had or still have?
I don't know if my parents still have it. I'm going to double check on that
one. My sister had a Holly Hobby lunchbox, the metal one.
Yeah.
That's still like in my parents' house. It was white with a blue trim.
It's probably a collector's item now, right? Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know. What was your lunchbox, Lauren?
I feel like I had a Care Bear one. I know I had like a purple one that I carried around a lot. That's one I remember from when I was older. But I'm pretty sure I had like a Care Bear lunchbox when I was little.
All right. I've thought about bringing in my R2-D2 igloo lunchbox.
But that's now. That's now. Modern. Yeah.
now.
That doesn't
count. Yeah, we have one of those freezer packs at home that looks, it has like Chewbacca's outfit on the front of it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Has like fur on it. And so that's definitely my husband's.
Well,
favorite.
as kids are going back to traditional calendar, I know my kids are going back to school on Monday. The lunch technology has just leaps and bounds from where it used to be back in my day.
Oh yeah.
You got the ice packs, yeah. You've got these the
canteen. You trust your kid to bring any of that back home?
Yeah, they do it all the time.
Wow. That's some good parenting,
dude,
right there.
I'm
impressed.
I was looking at the lunch menu because lunch is free.
I wouldn't
this
trust
year.
My kids to bring anything back home. They lose stuff in a heartbeat, man.
Really?
Yeah, that was me at school.
There's so many sweatshirts in the Raleigh public school system that I've paid for right now.
You know your kids better than I do,
yeah.
So you know what your kids are capable of doing and what they're not doing. I would say this about my 10-year-old. I wouldn't trust him with cash.
Yeah.
So, because he's just going to shove it in his pocket and he's going to lose it.
They've gotten around that now. I
mean, well,
the different school system,
they have gotten around
paying for lunches and stuff like that. But
yeah, my kids have always brought back their stuff.
I'm just saying, it's very responsible of them. It's impressive.
Okay. Well,
yeah. I'll give Kelly the credit for that.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't give me credit on that one. Lauren Brownlow, WRALSportsFan.com. All right, we'll see you next Tuesday.
All right.
Michael Rappaport now joining us on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. He's going to be at Charlie Goodnight starting tonight and through the weekend. Michael, how are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
We're good. We actually just played a clip from Kevin Durant with Draymond Green from Bleacher Report, where they were talking about the burner account and him going back and forth with people on Twitter. You have had a back and forth with Kevin Durant, although that wasn't supposed to be something that we saw, right? These were screen grab DMs.
Well, I mean, you know, it wasn't supposed to be something, you know, you saw, but it's a common thing that I do when people talk crazy to me. I put their messages up on social media. Were you guys talking about the workplace argument that happened three and
yes,
a half years
yes,
ago that
yes,
you're still talking about?
That's
on your Twitter,
about.
Yes.
Yeah, they're 3.5 years later, they're blaming the coach and the president of basketball operations about that. Did you guys cover that also? I think it's crazy. In my opinion, that was a, you know, these athletes all talk about controlling the narrative, and a lot of times that works. In my opinion, that was when controlling the narrative goes wrong, because I think that if they were trying to move on, and if they were trying to sort of present a good narrative, I think that's one of the worst things that Draymond Green could have said. And it just perpetuates this non-incident. It's really a non-incident. And it only became an incident because Kevin Durant is soft and, you know, got his feelings and couldn't deal with the situation head on like an adult. And then we're still talking about it 3.5 years later. Like, I don't understand what the point of bringing it up was now, but I mean, you know, it makes for good conversation, you know, makes for good conversation and, keeping the NBA a 365 day a year sport, which I know that they like.
It's August, Michael. We'll take it. Michael Rappaport joining us here.
I know exactly what you mean.
On the OG, that's Joe Ovius. I'm Joe Giglio, who's joining us here on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. He'll be at Goodnight's Comedy Club tonight at 8 o'clock, and then he has two shows on Friday and Saturday. I'm curious, Michael, you've been in, I'm 46, you're 51, you've been in some of the biggest movies that for our generation, if you will. And I'm curious, I'm sure more people mention the 4 episodes of Friends you were in than those movies, right? Like when random people come up and talk to you, do they call you Gary or do they get into the actual roles that I remember you for?
I mean, there's people come up to me about everything and anything. You know, there's certainly a group of younger people that will know me from just Friends, like, you know, 11, 12 year old, you know, kids that just, you know, it's for them. It's like the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
It's like a, you know, it's just a show that'll last forever. And I'm glad that I got to be a part of it. It's, you know, a historic show that, you know, it's a timeless show that will last forever. You know, and after doing, you know, as much as I've done in 30 years, if people didn't come up to me and talk to me about something, I'd be in trouble. So I really don't mind what people recognize me from. You know, I'm honored and, you know, I'm, you know, I've been fortunate to have such a long, diverse career that I'm happy that people, you know, want to talk to me about whatever.
Michael Rappaport joining us here on the OG. That's Joe Ovius. I'm Joe Giglio. Yeah, I think of True Romance, Copland, Beautiful Girls, those three right there. I'm curious, it doesn't have to be from those movies, but which actor that you worked with was way cooler than you thought?
That's a good question. I have to say probably Sylvester Stallone in Copland, because he gave me all my Rocky fandom questions and trivia and history and influence. He really let me have all my time with that when we were shooting Copland. So I probably have to say that. You know, I'll say if you had asked me the reverse, you know, who's disappointing, there really hasn't been anybody. You know, everybody who I've ever, like, really, you know, idolized growing up, Sylvester Stallone and De Niro and John Travolta and, you know, working with Spike Lee, like all those people, Matt Dillon, you know, I was a big fan of his before I, you know, did Beautiful Girls with him, or even, you know, and I was doing this show called Atypical on Netflix, Jennifer Jason Leigh, everybody's been really, really, really cool. And you know, you always get a chance to ask them about this or ask them about Saturday Night Fever, and everybody's, you know, been receptive about it. I haven't had anybody weird. So it's been good.
Michael Rappaport joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovius. He's at Good Night starting tonight, 8 o'clock, with shows Friday and Saturday as well. So, look, I'm 42. I'm familiar with your career. I'm familiar with the podcast. I know what you're about. But as you do introduce yourself to new audiences, like Giglio mentioned, you know, younger people watching Friends and seeing you on it, and like, all right, who is this guy? What's your general attitude and how you kind of go about things now, where there's a little bit more sensitivity to how you approach it? Like, I know you are a typical New Yorker with loud opinions and language can be used, et cetera. I know where you're coming from. Do younger people understand that?
Of course. I think that younger people and this politically correct climate, they know the difference. I think where people are getting jammed up is social media. You know, there's a lot of do-gooders and fake righteous, you know, totally politically correct people that present themselves on social media. And in my opinion, Twitter is the worst, because I mess around with all of them. In my opinion, Twitter is the most self-righteous of the big three, meaning, you know, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Mm-hmm. But especially in regards to comedy, you know, people come for a good time. People come to laugh. You know, if you know the old pie in the face that they did on every show, starting way back with Lucy and before that and Charlie Chaplin, you know, people would say that's bullying now. You know, go get out of here. You know what I mean? That's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, people know what's funny. People know what's mean. People know it's mean-spirited, you know, for the most part. And you know, and as far as on social media, you got to mind yourself, because people think things could be taken out of content. Mm. But in general, you know, you just play the game. And especially at the live shows that I'm doing this weekend at Goodnight's Comedy, you know, I'm going to have I do what I do. And, you know, you let the punches go.
Michael Rappaport joining us here on the OG. Speaking of context, I need you to help me on context with Sam Darnold, man. So he's now.
I don't think that's his team. I think Michael's got to be a Giants guy.
But you're a New York fan. You're a New York sports fan. I'm aware of this. And he's now the quarterback with the Panthers. And I'm sitting here going, the dude throws interceptions. I don't care if Adam Gase was his head coach. Like, I'm not buying this right now. And people are trying to sell me on it. You saw him. What am I getting with Sam Darnold here?
Well, first of all, in New York, I gave him the nickname Sammy Smooches. Okay.
Okay.
Sammy Smooches. Secondly, before we get to Smooches, the good Christian, thank goodness the good Christian will be back dominating every Sunday, Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
I love that man. I love everything about him. I love him from fantasy football.
I was going to say, this has to be a fantasy football take.
He's fantastic. And I'm glad he's back. You know, whether you love a guy or not, you always want to see somebody that great, healthy. I hope they don't run him into the ground. Although, you know, he comes off like Superman, but you know, he ain't that big.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
So Smooches, Smooches, you know, Sammy Smooches, unfortunately, I know I'm in Carolina, and I'm not saying this as a hater. You asked me what I've seen when he was with the Jets.
You hit him. You got him.
Proceed with caution. That's all I'll say is proceed with caution. And hopefully he does better. You know, he had flashes of doing really well. I really hope that he doesn't, you know, as much as we love to see Christian rocking and rolling and, you know, catching and running and, you know, everything that he does, no one could sustain that, you know, year after year. And and I think I really hope that they, you know, diversify the offense so the good Christian can be in there every 17 weeks. We get 17 games this year, which I don't think a lot of people are talking about. 17 games of NFL Sundays of real football from every team. Am I correct?
Yeah, you're on it.
So I'm looking forward to football. I'm looking forward to NBA. You know, I know that, you know, LaMelo Ball's big down here, and I know you guys love your college basketball down here. But as far as Sammy Smooches, be careful. Be careful.
Michael Rappaport, before we let you go, that is actually proof positive that preseason NFL optimism can even get the most hardened New Yorker.
You wouldn't even go after him. You have a nickname for him, but you're like, just be careful.
He got mono, and you're calling him Smooches, but you're like, I don't know, man.
See,
maybe.
That's my thing, Michael, that I wish we could apply preseason optimism to other parts of our life. Like the people who go review your comedy show at Goodnight's Comedy, like, don't you wish that they all treated you like an NFL preseason game? Yeah, you know, he threw two pick sixes, but he had three great jokes.
A couple jokes didn't land.
Great jokes.
No, it's all good.
That is funny. Now, let me ask you a question. Thus far, you guys are experts and the fans call in. What are you feeling about Sam so far? Just on based off what you've seen. Be honest. Gut.
They should have drafted Justin Fields. They should not have gone after Sam Darnold. Made no sense. They got rid of Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater and Sam Darnold essentially the same guy. Didn't make any sense to me.
You'd be lucky to have Teddy ball game over Sammy Smooches. That's all I'm going to say.
Hey, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, we are.
I was upset that they got rid of him. He was exactly what they thought he was going to be, but that's another story altogether. Michael Rappaport, good nights tonight, Friday, Saturday. Hey, man, appreciate the time. Have fun.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on, and you know, have a great weekend. Everybody out there, stay safe. I appreciate you guys.
Right now, we check in with Kendra in digital before she gets out of here for the day. See what she found on the "Am I the Bad Guy" subreddit. Kendra, what's up?
Hey guys, how are you today?
We're good. What did you find on Reddit today?
Okay, so I am going to start with their ages. So, ready? It says, "Am I the bad guy for not wanting my fiance's grandmother, who is a 98-year-old female, at our wedding?" Okay. So.
Okay. Do I need to know more? I think the answer is yes. You are the bad person if you don't want
this.
Okay,
wait.
All right.
There's some context. Okay, so my fiance, 30 male, and I, 28 female, are getting married next month. Everything's going great, but we've been having a serious argument about having his grandmother at our wedding. We've agreed not to have kids at our wedding, and we want the reception to be a huge party for our young adult friends, happy with dancing, loud music, and an open bar.
Mm-hmm.
However, for precisely the same reason that we don't want kids, I don't want his elderly grandmother at the wedding either. Okay, listen, I said she could come to the ceremony, but not the reception. It will be extremely loud, and I want it to be a party atmosphere, and she will be extremely out of place. For context, none of my grandparents are still alive, and this is his last living grandmother.
No. I bet you the 98-year-old grandmother probably likes to dance.
No, there's no 98-year-old grandmother dancing.
I disagree. I bet you there is. An old biddy who would absolutely dance. Come on now.
Okay, well, I don't know. So she said that she's always dreamed about being at her grandson's wedding, the grandma has. But she said that she is insisting that she's fine and she wants to go to the party.
Yeah.
Okay, she said, this is where
she's 98. Let her enjoy this thing.
Okay, but this is the only part where I relate to the bride. She said, I know it'll inevitably lead me to having to deal with her and take care of her, and I just want to get drunk on my wedding.
Oh, come on. Why does she think that she has to be the one that has to handle the 98-year-old grandma?
Well, maybe her and the 98-year-old grandma are close, so she feels like she's got to take care of her.
No, no. That's ridiculous. That's...
She said they're all mad at her, and now her fiancé's mad at her as well.
Yeah, as he should be. I'm sorry. This is the bad person. She is the bad person.
You get one card to play, though, as the bride. Like, this is one thing I want to do on my wedding
day. I would argue that those cards have already been pulled with no kids, that kind of stuff. I want this, you know, X, Y, Z. All those things have been played. Let the old lady watch the grandson get married and have a good time. We don't know how much longer she has left on this planet.
I mean, that's very fair. That's very fair.
All right, that's the hour, Yodel. Kendra, we got to get out of here. We'll talk to you later.
It's time for Rant 2.
Acapella the news.
It's funny you mentioned that because that's what we're singing about today. No, I'm kidding.
Farts?
Actually, I'm singing about a trip that I took with our buddy Mikey in Bayonne because he was the first person I thought about today when the Senate moved the gambling bill along. You know, big things coming for our friend Mikey.
On a cool fall evening, on a train bound for Cherokee, was on my way to gamble with Mikey in Bayonne. He said there's gotta be another way for entertainment purposes to enjoy watching these games. Man, I can't be alone. Fast forward months later, on the floor in the Senate, moving one step closer to our boy Mikey's dream. We know some are playing against it, but we're supporting education and trying to make some money while we're watching our team. You've still got to know when to sign off, know when you're cut off, know when to double click, and when to log out. You never bet on the Deacons when they burned you already. Just hold that mouse real steady and see how it shakes out.
Just reminding you, Julio, don't bet on Wake Forest anymore.
Are you going to write a letter to yourself again this season, Julio? About Wake Forest?
No. I am now freed to pick that game based on its merits.
All right.
A man's got to live by a code. I promised I wouldn't pick him until they proved they could beat Wake Forest, and they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean I'm going to pick State this year. It just means I am now free to pick that game on its merits.
You've been listening to the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 6 p.m., and you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.